Welcome to Slaking Thirsts, a podcast that's all about bringing the thirst deep within our hearts for love and communion to the heart of Christ, a divine heart, who is seeking our love and communion in return. The hope is that the two thirsts would meet and both thirsts would be slaked.
Well, happy Easter, everyone. We're still in it. Might as well say it for one more time. So today, in tonight's homily, I want to do three things in this homily. I want to begin by situating a little bit of the feast day of Divine Mercy. Then I want to talk about how in the gospel today we have the scriptural foundation for the sacrament of confession. And then finally, I want to speak about what the church, you and I, are called to be in the modern world. That should take about 45 minutes. All right, and then we'll... So if you have dinner plans, feel free to text. Okay. So to begin, many of us know from World War II, we know much more accurately the geography of Auschwitz, the famous death camp or concentration camp from World War II. And I had, I don't know what the right word is, privilege is not the right word, but the opportunity to go to Auschwitz on a pilgrimage through Poland. And some of the worst things that humanity's ever done happened right there at Auschwitz. Some of the greatest evil you could imagine. And it was still less than 100 years ago, by the way. But what we might not realize is a relatively quick bus trip away, and you go to the Divine Mercy Shrine. We're talking less time from Cleveland to Columbus. I mean, it's not far away. And now you're at this little convent where this nun was in her room praying, and she had visions of Jesus. And Jesus appeared to this little nun, Sister Faustina, and told her that I want you to write down the things I tell you and to eventually paint the image that you see here in our sanctuary. And what I want you to convey to the world is that as I look at modern man, I do not have contempt or condemnation, but I have mercy. And that we are in a special time, Jesus says. We are in an era of mercy where I will release my mercy like an ocean. And everyone's sins, no matter how big, will be a drop in this ocean. And he says, and I want the second Sunday of Easter to be called Divine Mercy Sunday, where this revelation will be remembered, celebrated, and promulgated throughout all of the church. So here we are at the depths of depravity. And just a little bit away, really closely to the same time period, by the way, there's Jesus offering the heights of hope and the medicine. All within the one country of Poland, so if you're Polish, stand tall today. All within one little area. And a lot of this went, for numerous reasons we can't get into, went really undiscussed, undiscovered, until from that same area, a priest by the name of Father Karol Wojtyła, who became a bishop and a cardinal, was elevated and became Pope St. John Paul II. And as many of you know, he's probably my favorite saint. I talk about him more than any other. But some things you don't know, kind of some fun things about him, is he was the first person to ever address the United Nations in what I believe was all 14 languages. He traveled so much as a pope that someone said if you added it up, it's to the moon and back around 3 times. He also wore Bono's glasses from U2, if that's what you like. All right. He has 2 doctorates. He was a philosopher and theologian. He was a poet, a mystic, a playwright. He liked skiing, playing soccer, and he had a supernatural capacity to befriend everyone he met. And he said, "Divine providence has assigned me the special task of divine mercy." Meaning Pope St. John Paul II understood that in the history of humanity, what God was doing with his own life was to release and promote divine mercy. Now, we might think, oh, that's a nice attribute. If you didn't know, he came from Poland, and he read the diary of Sister Faustina, and he knew exactly what he meant, and it was through him that he put on the church's calendar that this Sunday would be Divine Mercy Sunday. A man who lived through communist regimes, Nazi regimes, and saw all the misery, and in many ways saw the smoke in the air of these death camps. And through it all, he would proclaim hope, joy, goodness, and mercy, because he knew what Jesus was really like, that he himself is the medicine to what ails humanity, that he knew another political regime was not going to solve the problems, but divine mercy could. That's what we celebrate today. And we're in a special era of mercy. We're still in it. Okay. So, what is mercy? Well, English language is one of the few that doesn't have male-female, like, language, and so we just kind of get random words that just sound, like, very plain. But if you've ever studied another language, you know that there's male and female attributes, and same thing with the word mercy in many ways. So, in Latin, mercy means to give a heart to one in misery. So you come across someone and they're really struggling with something in life. It's really hard. To offer them heart, to offer them kindness, love, care, time, that's mercy. It's to offer a heart to someone's misery and struggles. It's kind of the masculine dimension of this giving. But in Hebrew, the word mercy comes from a cluster of words where you also get the word womb, which is the feminine component of mercy. And what happens in a womb? New life. Life is generated in a womb. And the most vulnerable little signs of life are protected and cared for so that it can grow and then be given to the world. And so mercy has another attribute of when we offer mercy to someone, when God offers mercy to you and to me, He's regenerating us. He's giving us new life. He's giving the opportunity for the littlest sprouts of new growth of holiness to continue to grow in us. This takes us to the second part today of the sacrament of confession. A lot of people are like, well, where is that in the Bible there, Father? Well, thanks for asking. I'll take some time and explain it. So it actually came from today's gospel. Jesus approaches the apostles and breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, this is important because breathing on them, there's another time where God breathes on humanity. At the dawn of creation, in Genesis chapter 2, he makes us out of dirt and then breathes into us life. So that's how we were created. Now Jesus, risen from the dead, is recreating us. How? Once again, by breathing into us. And what he says is, receive the Holy Spirit. See, he's not just giving them a human mandate. And he's not giving it to the 77 or to the 5,000 crowd. It's to the apostles that were gathered, his closest group. And he's giving them a share in divine life, divine power, for the sake of service. He breathed onto these 12 and says, receive the Holy Spirit. So why is he giving these 12 this divine power? And then he goes on to say, whatever sins you forgive are forgiven them. Whatever sins you retain are retained. Well, in order for these apostles to know your sins and to know which ones to forgive and which ones to retain, it's built in that you'd have to tell them. Otherwise, they don't know which sins to forgive and which sins to retain. You have to share that with them. Hence, the institution of the sacrament of confession, where people would go not to the 77, not to the 5,000, but those who we later on call ordained, set apart, given a divine power to hear your sins and to forgive and to retain. So right away we want to say, which ones are retained? Because that doesn't sound like great news. Mainly the ones you don't want to repent from. So part of the apostles and the disciples and the ordained's job is to listen to the human heart to find, are we sorry? Do we want to let go of these sins? And as Pope Francis said, sometimes we have to ask, are you at least sorry that you're not sorry? Because even there then is the little crack that can get divine mercy to flood into you. So what is the power of God given through human instruments as ordained men meant to do? Regenerate you and me with new life. You know, it's spreading throughout the diocese. How many of you go to confession here during Advent and Lent? And I was just there for an hour and almost 40 minutes today hearing confessions, okay, because Father Jeff is gone. He'll hear it when he gets back. But, you know, confession used to be a symbol, I think, to all of us, like, oh, I messed up. I got to go to confession. But when you see it as it's the way that divine power can give you new life, it's the way that this era of mercy can actually touch you. Because to hear someone who's been given the power of God to say, I absolve you from your sins, is life-giving. It's transformative. And so I just want to say to the whole parish, great job responding to the gift of Jesus in this world, not just in the Eucharist, but in confession. And it leads me to my final point today. He says, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. And so you and I receive the gift of divine mercy, that Christ does not respond with a hammer, but he has mercy. He's not going to beat you up or turn his back, but he's going to show his wounds and say, give me your sins. Literally, let me have them so you can be free. He's the Lamb of God who takes them away. So he offers us mercy, but then he says, okay, now I need you to go and do likewise. As I was thinking about this weekend, what was really on my heart wasn't so much that, of course, Jesus has mercy and it's the great gift. God is for us, not against us. But I was also thinking about how many people have shown me mercy. And without those people showing me mercy, protecting me, giving a safe place for me to get my footing in life, to keep growing, I would have never made it this far. And I would have no hope going forward unless I would believe that God can touch other people's hearts to continue to give me a culture of mercy so we can grow. When I was about 19 or 20, I started coming to the church for the first time in my life consistently. And at that time, our youth minister at my home parish was a great guy, and I was volunteering quite a bit at the church right away, and him and I would talk, and in fact, he had me go out to his house and help build a garage for him. Cheap labor, I found out. But I would share all sorts of struggles in my life, and he'd share them with me, and as I was sharing him all the struggles that someone in their 20s years old struggles with, he would just make sure I was praying and getting involved, and then he'd ask me to do more ministry with him. He didn't send me away. He invited me to draw close. As I shared sin and brokenness, he entrusted more things to me. He was having mercy on me and communicating to me that in spite of my sin and brokenness and bad habits, he believed in me. It was his mercy that allowed me to stand tall when my sin told me I should shrink. It was his kindness and compassion that allowed me to dream of a life where, could I be holy one day? Is that possible? It's not just top down, God down to us. There have been people in your life that without their mercy and kindness on your brokenness and weakness, you couldn't make it this far. Without them willing to protect you and not expose you to the world, you'd have no hope. Those are heroes. Those are saints next door, Saint Pope Francis would call them. The saint next door, someone that might not make it into the saint so-and-so pray for us. But they're revealing God. And so on this Divine Mercy Sunday, I just have two questions for you to really meditate on this week, and I think it will develop you in rich ways. Who's shown you mercy when you needed it the most? Who's been there for you when you knew they had every right to turn their back? They could have walked away. They could have reduced you. They could have wagged a finger. And instead, they were kind and forgiving, encouraging, giving you a second and third chance that allowed you to get your footing. And then the second question is this. Who is the Lord asking you to have mercy on? Who is the Lord asking you to show this gracious way of love, which is really divine? When the church looks and sounds like this in the world, then people are going to want to know, why are you like this? Where did you learn this from? And then, like the apostles, we get to say, come and see.